Health, yeah. This isn't your average health talk. We're asking those awkward questions for you. We're digging into the health, wellness, and medical news that matters to you. We're cutting through the clickbait with facts you can trust. From uncomfortable questions to breakthrough science, it's a dose of real news you can use. This is Health Yeah with Monica Robbins, your prescription for life.
Joining me now is Dr. Haytham Khrasia, who is a cardiologist with University Hospital's Harrington Heart and Vascular Institute. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Monica, for having me.
All right. The big news, everybody's talking about GLP-1s, and the biggest news that came out recently was the Wegovy pill. So can you talk to me about, is it better than the injectables or more effective, or is this the answer to what we're going to see in the future?
Sure. So injectable GLP medications are generally more potent and better studied compared to oral medications, especially in the space of weight loss and heart protection. Usually with injectables, you expect a weight loss between 15 and 22% of body weight, depending on the specific medication and formulation, of course. With the pill form, as you correctly mentioned, the Wegovy pill form has shown some potency, or significant potency, I should say. Oral Wegovy led in the study for almost 12% weight loss, and that is, of course, like depending on the dose and adherence. The difference between the injectable and the oral is that the pills have to survive in the stomach and be absorbed through the gut. So they must be taken on an empty stomach with a small amount of water, no food or other medications for almost 30 minutes. If that routine isn't followed closely, then the effectiveness can drop. On the other hand, the injectables can bypass our gut, so the drug levels are more reliable. In a nutshell, I think injectables remain the gold standard for the time being, but pills are a very good alternative for people who do not want to inject themselves and who want just to take a pill a day.
Are there more pills in the pipeline or any other drugs similar to this that are going to be, you know, the changing face of what these medications are?
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of competition in this space between different companies. We have the orforglipron, which will be manufactured by Eli Lilly. It's a one daily oral small molecule of GLP-1, it can broaden access basically. FDA decision has been discussed publicly as expected in 2026. We have Sagrisema by Novo Nordisk, but that's an injectable as well. So there are some drugs in the pipeline for sure.
How will all of these drugs, you know, everything new that's coming in, affect pricing? Because that's the biggest issue for a lot of people. You know, a lot of these medications are not covered by insurance, and a lot of people who really need these medications can't afford them.
Oh, absolutely. So competition drives prices down, of course. So the more options the consumer have, the more the prices can go down. We've seen over the past 5 to 10 years, the pricing going down significantly. The injectables now out of pocket without an insurance, depending on the formulation, range between almost $299, $300 to $450. And, you know, another company kind of regulate that at like $350, depending on the formulation and the company. I don't support one medication versus another, but I'm giving a broad overview. For the pill, for the Wegovy pill, it would range between $150 or $140 to a max of $300, I believe. As we have more medications in the pipeline, this will drive prices lower.
Another thing that's coming out is a lot of research about what GLPs can do besides weight loss. What surprised you most and what should people know?
Oh, absolutely. So GLP have a lot of benefits beyond weight loss. So just to give you a background on GLP medications, they were developed initially for diabetes. And now we know that they do much more than helping people to lose weight. Larger studies show that they reduce incidence of heart attacks, strokes, improve peripheral vascular disease. They can help with fatty liver disease, sleep apnea, even acid reflux. And there's also early evidence that they reduce cravings for alcohol, nicotine, and other substances because they work on the reward system of the brain. Hence, we really think of them now as a cardiometabolic medications rather than just weight loss medications.
So, in simplest terms, can you explain how they work?
Oh, absolutely. They mimic an enzyme or a hormone that we produce in our gut called glucagon-like peptide. So they after we eat, let's talk about normal human physiology. After we eat, our stomach stretches, it produces the gut produces GLP, it goes to the brain and tells the brain, stop eating, you're full. With GLP medications, they are same molecules stable over time. So they kind of work on the brain to tell the brain, hey, you are full, but also work on the gut to slow down the gut motility. And that's why people on GLP agonist are usually full. They have some side effects like nausea, constipation, because of the way those medications work.
Why do people need to stay on them long term?
That's a great question, Monica. And it has to do with the fact that we know that obesity is a chronic disease, such as, first of all, let me kind of take a step back and say, what is the indication for GLP? It depends on type 2 diabetes, obesity, cardiovascular risk reduction. In terms of obesity, and I think that's what you are getting at, we know that obesity now is a metabolic disorder. I would think about obesity like hypertension, heart disease. And those medications work on the hormonal system of the body and they suppress appetite. And once their effects is off, then the body goes back or reverts back to its the prior habits of hormonal imbalance and food cravings. And that's most probably why kind of people stay on it long term. Additionally, when people initially lose the weight, they lose a lot of muscle mass. And when they go back into the GLP, the weight loss might be less effective because of less muscle mass in the body.
So there was just a study that was done out of Oxford that found that people who stop taking these medications long term eventually just will gain the weight back. The concern with that, and if they start taking the medications again, even microdosing, my understanding is that they don't work. Is that accurate?
That's a very common question. In most cases, medications still work actually when restarted. Sometimes the weight loss feels slower the second time because we have to restart at a lower dose. Muscle mass may have been lost the first time, or expectations are higher from those medications. There's no strong evidence that these medications permanently lose effectiveness, just because someone paused them. Also, there are no studies to wean people off those medications, and it's a space that needs more research and more studies to understand what happens when we stop them, what happens if we stop them with proper lifestyle modifications, and as you correctly mentioned, microdosing versus like list dosing versus intermittent dosing. Those are all big unknowns. That's a great question.
You mentioned muscle loss, and that's a huge issue for a lot of people, but so are a lot of other side effects. You know, we've heard of vision changes, we've heard of hair loss. What are the big concerns that people need to be aware of before starting these medications, or if they're on these medications, and how do you combat these issues?
Absolutely. So that's a great question. That's one of my favorite aspects to counsel my patients on. So first of all, the most common side effects of those medications are gut-related symptoms, and that goes back to how those medications work. Mostly, people have some irritations, including nausea, constipation, vomiting. Those are very common side effects, especially when starting those medications or when the dose changes. Other medication, other side effects include, as you correctly mentioned, muscle mass loss. And muscle mass loss in some studies range between 20 to 35%, and some studies even reported 45% of muscle mass loss of the total weight lost. And that's a very substantial amount. And here comes the our role as physicians and educators to educate patients on the benefits of a healthy, balanced diet that is high in protein, B, resistance exercise, and how to maintain the muscle mass.
All right, as we wrap this up, there's so much we don't know about these medications. From your perspective, what do you see on the horizon for what these medications may be able to do down the road?
That's a great question. I think then the next steps are medications that maybe trigger weight loss in a different way, that they target fat loss more than muscle mass loss. And we have some drugs in the pipeline that I think companies are developing, also developing this secret sauce of how can we trigger the or break the obesity cycle in a healthy way while make people feel great about themselves and live healthier, longer lives.
With these newer drugs that are coming out that are, obviously going to be better, we would assume. For the people who are on these medications now, would they be able to switch and move to a better drug?
Most probably, I would believe so. I believe they should be able to do so, but it will be interesting what the trials show and what scientists and physicians will show us in the next few years.
So there's still a lot we don't know and a lot we need to know with this. Dr. Kresha, thank
Absolutely.
you so much for your time. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me, Monica. Always wonderful talking to you.
Thank you so much for listening to Health Yeah. Remember, you can watch the video versions of the episodes on YouTube at Monica Robbins' channel. Subscribe and follow my work and never miss an episode at authory.com/Monica Robbins. Find me on X and Instagram at Monica Robbins, and I'm also on Blue Sky Social at monicarobbins.bsky.social. And you can follow me on Facebook at Monica Robbins, WKYC in parentheses. Wishing you the best of health, and stay tuned for your next dose of information.
Monica Robbins is not a medical doctor. All content presented in this program is for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice and should not be relied on as health or personal advice. Always seek the guidance of your personal doctor or qualified healthcare professional with any questions regarding your health or medical condition. Thanks for listening to Health Yeah with Monica Robbins from WKYC Studios. Subscribe now so you never miss an update and find more on everything you heard right here on WKYC.com, the WKYC app, and WKYC Plus on your smart TV.